So thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate it. And what we want to do, if you would just turn with me to Genesis 11. I want to touch base on a few things that out of there in just a moment. But I know that for everybody who's dealing with the fallout of all this situation, that it is a little unsettling. It's unsettling because the things that we've depended upon, the things that we've always considered something that could be just a concrete bedrock in our life, all of a sudden disappeared. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the one who is the answer. That's why we look different. That's why when Andres was sharing just a minute ago that there's something that people are calling now. There are people who are calling. There are people who are contacting you. They want to know what's in your life simply because you look and are responding differently. Why? Because when you have Jesus, you're not depending upon all these other things. I remember years ago when I was within my company and the Lord just spoke to me these words. He just said, all of this is an illusion. All of this is an illusion, because at that moment I was an owner of a company and had thousands of customers connecting to me. Everything looked really, really rosy. It was an awesome time. And then within 2 weeks, all that changed. So I began to understand what he was telling me. You can't look at the world system and the things around you and depend upon that. The importance is for us to connect with him. Because as we connect with the Lord, as we're connecting with his heart, as we're connecting with him, then there's a dynamic that begins to happen in our life that begins to allow us to see the things differently and then respond differently. Because your heart is now different. Because you have something that's no longer can be shaken. When all the world is shaking around you, your heart's not shaken. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to understand that. And part of that is getting ourselves anchored in the Word. Because the more that we're anchored in his Word, the greater the bedrock that we have to hold on to. Remember when there's the two guys, the one who built his house upon the rock and then the other one who built his house upon the sand? Guess what? Probably if they spent the same amount of money, the guy who built his house upon the rock and the guy who built his house upon the sand, probably the guy who built his house upon the sand had a better looking house for a while. I mean, that house may have been prettier, bigger, and why? Because he didn't spend any time investing in what it took to get anchored in the bedrock. He spent his money looking at what was going to come up above the surface. And so because of that, then when the storm came, who stood? It was the house that was buried in the rock. The house, the guy who spent the time digging and burying it into it. When we spend the time with the Word, digging and burying into it, anchoring into it, now we have something that can begin to hold us fast in the middle of times like this. And this is just the beginning. I believe this is a time when we're supposed to be looking different because God is fixing to do something. I just have a great expectation, and I challenge you to have a great expectation for God to do something both in your life personally and then corporately. I believe something is about to shift because I don't think the way the church was done before is going to stay the same. I don't think the way the world operated before is going to ever go back to being the same. And so I think we have an opportunity now to see God explode in ways that never could have happened before. Why? Because you people are now rocked out of their comfort zone. They didn't like it. We don't, no one wanted it, but at the same time, we're out of the comfort zone now. And so that gives us an opportunity to do it different. Hallelujah. So with that, I just wanted to bring something to your attention here. Now that that was said, glory to God. There you go. Let's see. In Terah, in verse 26 of chapter 11 of Genesis, and Terah lived 70 years and he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these were the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. And Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took for wives some of themselves, and the name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, and the daughters of Haran, and the father of Milcah, and Isaac. And Sarah was barren, and she had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, we know from reading last week that Pastor LaRue was talking, and he was leading us to read in chapter 12 how Abraham, when he was 75 years old, received a visitation from God, and God began to say, hey, I'm going to cause you to be a mighty nation. I'm going to cause you to receive an inheritance. I want you to move out of this place, and I want you to go into the land of Canaan. But what we just read just pointed out something that, because see, Abraham became the father of many nations. He became the one that we all look up to, all revere. But at the same time, what we just read there in chapter 11 basically is telling us, that Terah, father of Abraham, was sent to go into the land of Canaan. In other words, he had the same calling on his life as was given to Abram. He was supposed to go into the land of Canaan in his generation. It wasn't supposed to be left up to Abram. It was always supposed to be done by the time Abram came along. But Terah went as far as Haran, but then no farther. He stopped off in the land of Haran. And he didn't proceed with the calling that was on his life. He didn't hold fast to the word that he had received. Remember, we were talking last week, you have to hold fast. When the Lord gives you a word, when I was talking out of Ezekiel 37, in Ezekiel 37, the Lord gave him and told him to prophesy, told Ezekiel to prophesy to those bones. He said, prophesy and let the breath be released to those bones. And what he was telling them was, as the breath is released to those bones, then life is going to come into them. But see, what happened was that the first time that he began to prophesy, as the Lord had indicated, he prophesied, and then the bones came back together, which would kind of be a neat thing to see. And then sinew began to grow on the bones, and muscles and connective tissues all began to form. And then they were there, and they had the form of the word, but not the life. The point with this being is you got to hold to the word that you're given. When you have a word, it's not good enough to just let it gather some momentum. It's got to not only gather some momentum, but it's got to begin to look like and be like what God said it was supposed to be. What God said it was supposed to be, that's what we're looking for. Then he began to say, because the Lord had told him twice that there would be breath in them. But there wasn't the first time he prophesied. So the Lord said, prophesy again. Prophesy again. In other words, have an expectation that the word I gave you is going to come to pass. Have an expectation that the word I gave you is going to be complete. Because when it becomes complete, now it has life in it, and that life becomes a mighty nation. We're at the time and the point right now where we're ready to become a mighty nation. We're ready to become a mighty nation because God has given us a word to carry forth. He's given us the right hand to carry forth. He's given us the generational blessings to carry forth. He's given us a place to carry forth the word into the world. And now he said, now it's time for it to be released. But we have to continue to speak to it and have an expectation and hold to the word that we were given until it comes to completion, until the life begins to flow out of that. And when the life begins to flow out of that, then it will have the thing that God called it to be. Because he's not going to just release something and just let it fall flat. When God starts it, it's going to have fullness. And when it has fullness, it's going to have completion. That's what we're looking for. And that's what we have to begin to understand and begin to see. See, Terah should have been the one that we're all looking to. Because he was called to go into the land of Canaan. He should have been the one who was the father of many nations. It should be Terah, the father of many nations, and not Teraham, I guess. And the father of many nations. It's what he should have been. But you see, Abram was the one who fulfilled the call. He fulfilled the call because he held the word. We can't fulfill the call until we hold the word. And we don't come off it until it gets done. It wasn't simple for him to fulfill the word. It was difficult for him to leave out of the place, the only place that he had known, and go somewhere different. It was necessary for him to go out of there and leave out of there so that he could fulfill what God had said. He couldn't do it. He couldn't fulfill it somewhere God didn't call him to be. He had to go where God called him. He had to believe God and stand in it, not just for that moment, but until it came to pass, until it began to birth life and began to have Isaac. Terah had the same call, but because he heard the word and he allowed himself to be distracted. Because see, in Haran, what they did was they worshiped a moon god. Guess what the moon god's name was? Sin. So in effect, Terah got stopped in Haran by sin. He got distracted from his call on his life by sin. He allowed the sin come in, the place to settle in a place of sin rather than settling in what God had called him to do. He didn't hold to the promise. He didn't hold to the word. What we're looking to do is hold to the word and recognize that that word has within it the power to carry you forth, the power to carry you to completion, the power to carry you into the destiny that it's releasing. Amen. Hallelujah. So good. Okay. So, with that said, you see, all the things that we hold dear, all the things that we hold dear were released because one man began to hold on to the word. Because he began to hold on to the word. Now we have an inheritance that's held down, that's passed down to us. Pastor LaRue mentioned this last week, but I will actually give you scripture for it. I don't know if that was Tuesday or I don't remember. But anyway, go to Romans 6 with me. Romans 4, rather. See, in Romans 4, I just want you to familiarize you if you weren't familiar already. But see, for the promise to Abram or his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law. Why? Because the law didn't exist yet. The law wasn't until 400 years later. It wasn't through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For it's not, if not those who are the law or heirs, faith was made void and promise nullified, but for the law brings about wrath, there is no law, there is no violation. For this reason, it is by faith that it may be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants. It's by faith that it may be in accordance with grace that the promise is certain to all the descendants. Not only those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham. And that's what was necessary was for those who are of the faith of Abraham. Because that means now that each and every one of us gets to get in on the promise and the inheritance that was released to Abraham. And I just want to make sure you got to see the word for that. LaRue issued the word. Hallelujah. So, but there's an actual scriptures to back that up. It's amazing what else you can hear when you don't hear people. I hear motorcycles driving by on the road outside. Hallelujah. So, let me ask you, What word are you holding on to? What word are you holding on to? What are you looking at? Hopefully you're looking at me right now, but that's not the point. What word are you looking at? What word has God given you? What are you looking at? Because see, what you're looking at is going to determine what happens next. And understanding what happens next, understanding having a heart for what happens next is going to draw you to it. But if you don't keep yourself focused in it, you never get there. So what you have to do is keep yourself focused where the word he gave you is taking you. I heard Missy gave a testimony, or basically of a vision or a dream that she had had. And in this, she was looking, and as she was looking, when she looked to the left, everything was chaos and destruction. But when she looked to the right, there was rest and peace. To me, that was exactly the moment that we're in right now. Because see, right now, if you look outside, if you let the news tell you what you're looking at, if you let the everything that you hear or see on the news describe what your position is, all you're seeing is chaos and destruction. All the things that you counted on are being torn down systematically one by one. But if you're looking at what's happening in the kingdom, there's rest and there's peace. And that rest and peace is greater than the vacuum that is the world system. It's time for us to recognize and look and understand that we have a part in this, and our part is simply to have ourselves focused on what God said to focus on. Because when we're focused on the word, when we're focused on the promise, when we're focused on the inheritance that he has for us, now we can begin to operate in the place of rest, because we're no longer having to do it all on our own strength, but it's his strength that's with you. That's where that fits. Nahum 8, verse 10, says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. But see, you have to recognize that moment was happening when that word was released. It was released because they had totally walked away from God. They had been in exile. They came back. Their city was destroyed, and they had totally lost track of what the law and what the word actually meant at that time. And so basically Nehemiah had read the word to them. And as he read the word to him, he basically began to tell them exactly what they began to see and be cut by the word, because they realized how far off of the track they had gotten. Because it didn't rest. In other words, they had not held to the word. And they repented as a community, as a whole body. They began to choose to tune herself back in to God. And at that point, he told them that don't weep, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, that joy, there's a joy that comes from him. You're no longer having to do this by yourself. Now that you are allowing the word to come into your heart, I will come alongside you, and I will make it happen. You're not left up. In other words, I want you to rejoice. Because why? Because now grace can become in effect for you. There's a grace that is going to be released in your life. Because why? Because you're allowing me to. You're allowing me to be a part of it. You're allowing me to come and wrap myself around you, and to become and be a shelter and a father for you, to come and hold you and draw near to you, because you choose to turn to me. That's, even in this moment, we have that opportunity when we turn to him and look to him for his word. During the offering, Carlos mentioned Matthew 4. I kind of always look to Luke 4 for the same passage. If you would go there for me for just a moment. Yes, go to Luke. What's that? Oh, I gave you the wrong scripture. It was Nehemiah. Yeah. I'm sorry, I said the wrong word. That wasn't Nehemiah, but it was Nehemiah 8:10. Was that scripture a minute ago? So, for those who are tracking with us at home, Nehemiah 8:10 was the joy of the Lord is your strength. That was all coming out of the book of Nehemiah. I quoted the wrong word up front. So, I have now been corrected, and I appreciate it so much. Hallelujah. God is good. I'm on track again. So, hallelujah. See, the amazing thing is, our Lord and Savior, I'm going to just exhort that, because we all understand the story, and parts of it were just read. But every time that he was being tempted in the wilderness, every time that the enemy tempted with him with something, he said, "It is written." His response to every bit of it was, "It is written." Now, I want you to think this out with me for just a moment. Just think it out with me for just a moment. Anything that Jesus said was going to become the word. He could have said anything he wanted to in that moment, and it would have been the word. Instead, he said, "It is written." Because he wanted to give you an example to live by. He wanted to give you an example to live by. You don't have to have a now present, right? This second word. You can hold the word that you already have. And if you hold the word that you already have, that's what's going to protect you from the enemy, because it's the word that's already here and implanted in your soul that makes the difference. It's the word that's already implanted in you that actually is going to come out of you. And that's where your protection comes from. That's where your covering comes from. That's where your anchor comes from. That's the thing that's going to change and shift nations and be shift courses and destinies, because it's the word that's anchored in your soul. And he wanted you to have an example, because he could have said anything he wanted to, and it would have become the word. Instead, he chose to rely on the word that was already written, so you could rely on the word that was already written. It's necessary for us to understand that when we have that word as an anchor in our soul, now we're not subject. Now we're not subject to the shifting, changing, ever-changing world around us. I remember, this morning, I actually just had a brief vision, and it was an old VW microbus just covered in mud. And I see that, okay? I know somebody's, but anyway, having had a lot of experience in the old days with a VW microbus, they're slow. They're really slow. But you can pack a lot of people in there, and it'll get there eventually. But see, I believe he was pointing out that what has happened is that represents ministry. Any vehicle typically represents ministry in a vision or dream. And so it represents mystery, but I think it's the church at large, and it was moving way too slow, and it was covered by the world system. It's time for us to recognize the word that's in our heart and know and come out from the world system and come out from those things that have been covering us and sliming us, and begin to recognize that what was is no longer good enough. What was is no longer fast enough. What was is not going to get the job done. What was is going to have to go away. Because why? Because we have a word in our heart that does not let us stop. Amen. 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 At home, we said, amen. You just got to by faith, okay? We're not. Hebrews 10:38 says what? The just shall live by feelings? Faith. Yes. The just shall live. Those interactive things don't work quite the same right now. The just shall live by faith, not by feelings. See, unfortunately, a lot of times we're more looking to have our attitude shaped by what's going on around us than we are what's inside of us. Hanging on to the word changes that. Hanging on to the word changes that. I'm no longer subject to looking at the situation around me. I'm not looking to the situation around me to determine how I feel about me. I'm not looking at the situation around me to determine how I feel about undress. I'm going to choose to love him anyway. Amen? Amen. Amen. My point is that I can't look to the world around me or the situation around me to determine what God has said is true or not. If he told it, if God has said it, if it's in his word, it is true. We have to have that as a foundation. It's not the time now to be questioning and looking at the circumstance around me to determine whether or not God is true. Because God is truth. He is light. He's incapable of darkness. He's incapable of being darkness. And so if I make that my foundation, now then I have an opportunity to begin to speak out of that foundation into my situation. But as long as I'm looking into my situation and thinking it has some kind of power over me, then I'm not going to speak to it out of the one that actually has the power and the dominion in you. Hallelujah. So, let me just see. I made a note in there. He wanted us to have the surety of the present word. It doesn't always mean that our circumstances instantly change, but it does mean our circumstances no longer change you. Our circumstances aren't necessarily going to be instantly changed because we begin to stand in the word. But I can tell you that your heart will be changed relative to the circumstance. Your heart will no longer be put under the circumstance, but you'll recognize you have dominion over the circumstance. Taking that word. When the Lord spoke to me one night and I was in prayer, and we had already been through multiple years of contention with my son and his situations. And the Lord spoke to my heart one night and just said, the battle may not be won, but the war is already over. It's already concluded. In other words, basically everything that I was ultimately looking for was going to be done. He spoke it and it just came alive in my heart. And on that night, my whole attitude shifted because I was no longer struggling to try to make something happen. I was resting in the fact that it had already happened, even though in the natural, we still had to go to court the next day. In the natural, the things that were going on still had lots of time, and there was going to be several more years of stuff that was happening before the result that I was wanting was going to be realized. But it changed in my heart that night forever. So much so that the next day in court, when they were up there and they had this huge book on him and all this other stuff, it was, you know, that should have been intimidating, but I was at a place of total and complete peace. And actually, after a while, I began to wonder, is there something wrong with me? Because I'm in such peace and I shouldn't be in peace, but I'm in such peace that I was assured in my heart. Why? Because that's what God does in your heart when you hang on and hold on to his word. It didn't change everything overnight, but it changed things in miraculous ways. And just for FYI, for those who didn't hear that story before, the neat thing was that the judge asked him, well, son, what do you have to say for yourself? And he just began to be really, really honest. But judge, I've avoided you. I've done everything you asked me not to do. But last night I had a vision. I didn't know any of that. Last night I had a vision. And in this vision, my foot got stuck for a while. But then it got free and I stayed free. And based on what he said, I mean, you could have heard a pin drop in the courtroom at that moment. You could have heard, I mean, it was just like, just totally, as soon as he started talking about, last night I prayed in tongues for the very first time, and then I had a vision. So all of this, and as soon as he said, I prayed in tongues for the first time, I mean, the whole courtroom just stopped. No one moved. It was just silent. And he explained all this vision. And the judge just looked at him and said, son, I can't tell you about your vision, but I can tell you I'm not going to send you to prison today. Amen. 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 That was an amazing day, an amazing moment. But the thing was, that moment only confirmed what was already in my heart. And all the things that happened, there were more things that happened later, but none of those things ever challenged what was in my heart. That's what God's looking for us to hold on to. If I had been looking at the circumstances around me, there was lots of other conclusions I could have come to. But if you're looking to what's in the heart, the word that's plugged into your heart, then you're staying on the thing that he asks you to stay on. And that will dictate the circumstance, even if it doesn't do it right away. I want, sometimes, I know, because when I'm praying with you guys, when I'm praying for you guys, I want to see things change now. I know we're a microwave generation. We want it all to happen now. But I can tell you what, there's more character building in that process of holding that word than you can imagine. There's more faith building in that process than you can imagine. And until you experience it, it doesn't matter what the situation might be. I remember being told of the story of Dave Roberson, and his house was burning down, and all he was looking around and said, "Hey, does anybody have some coffee for these guys?" He had no concern about those things. His concern was about reaching out for these people who were helping put out the fire. It's just because there was a peace inside his heart that could not be defied. God is putting that in our hearts even in this moment. And because he's putting these things in our heart, he's equipped us already. You're going to see it and you're going to feel it. You're going to know it. And he's equipped you already to respond to the situations around us today. That's what carries us forward. That's what allows us to take on the world and take on the coronavirus or anything else and choose to look at what God has said, rather than what the world has around us. We don't have to be slimed by all that. We can allow the purpose of God to set destiny. Glory. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. So I'm no longer having to look to a more favorable circumstance to have a more favorable attitude. Hello. Hello. I wish I could have seen everybody's faces when I said that. That would have been good. But if I'm not, in other words, my attitude no longer has to be based on what my feelings are. My attitude doesn't have to be based on what the circumstances are. And when I begin to know and hold to the word, now that word becomes the thing that determines my attitude. When that word becomes the thing that determines my look, my view on the circumstance. Hallelujah. And if I hold to it, I'll draw to it. If I hold to it, I'll draw to it. Glory to God. The just shall live by faith. When I allow and recognize that my feelings don't have to run the show, it means I have the opportunity to walk in maturity. When my feelings aren't running the show anymore, now I don't have to respond to, Pastor just walked by me and he didn't even look at me. He didn't talk to me. He didn't know all those other things. I can begin to recognize that no matter what else is happening in the situation around me, that my feeling and the environment around me do not determine what I see or where I go. They don't determine the place and the course of action that I'm taking. The neat thing is on this, I don't have to worry about anybody thinking I'm talking about you, because you're out there. I don't know who we are and where you are. Hallelujah. I can't see your face or how shocked it might be or not. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have an opportunity, an incredible opportunity to be the light. an incredible opportunity to let God minister in your heart. An incredible opportunity to set your course. Right now, many of us have more opportunity to pray, to seek God. Let's take advantage of it. Let's take it as a situation where we can just use it to bring increase, a priming. Because actually, I think many of you are already primed. Many of you are primed. It's just a matter of now we're looking for that moment of release. He's putting in place a release around us. He's putting in place a release right in front of you. Because he has something around us. Let's look and see. You know, one of the things that my mom taught me was way when I was young was because I never liked being in crowds of people and whatnot. And she said, find one person that looks like they're more miserable than you are, and draw the good out of them, make them comfortable. In this situation, look around you. See somebody around you who needs to be made comfortable. See somebody around you who needs your touch, who needs your word, who needs your encouragement, who needs your life, who might need a loaf of bread or a roll of toilet paper or maybe a couple of rolls of toilet paper. It doesn't matter what it is. Find somebody around you that you can engage with and make them better off today than they were yesterday. Because see, that's how the real church is going to get released. This is part of what God has for each and every one of us. Because see, he's stored up a word in our heart, and that word is going to be released. But they're not going to receive it until they know that you care about them. So when you begin to show that you care about them, now all of a sudden their heart is going to be open to you, so you have something to put in. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So what are you going to be caught up with? What are you going to be caught up with? What are you going to live by? You know, sometimes just having a word can change everything about your life. A friend of mine, Kathy Eason, she started an entire ministry off of one word that the Lord gave her. The Lord simply told her, I want you to pray for my people. I want you to pray for my people and expect my healing. She took that word and she's built a ministry now that is in multiple locations and ministers to probably hundreds of people a month, if not more. And she now has a place where she has a retreat that people can come to. She has a place where an office place where people can go and just get healing, similar, very similar to Sozo. But she has all these things because she took the word and she began to follow it through. She made one foot in front of another. She didn't have to solve the whole thing. She didn't on day one. She didn't know what the rest of it looked like. She just said, Lord, I will do it. I'll take your word and I'll hold it. I'll take your word and I'll act on it. And she put one foot in front of the other until all of a sudden all these things burst forth in her life that no one would ever have expected. Something that was supposed to be just starting, I'm going to pray for a couple of people over here. I think she just started out as like one of the prayer partners at her church. And she said, I'm going to pray for a couple of people over here. Now has become a ministry that's spread across multiple cities. God has something he can do in you when we respond in that same way. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, let's see. I think that's a good place to stop for today. I just want to encourage you during this time. Know that we love you. Continue. If you got questions, many of you have my phone number. If you don't, then you can always send an email to info@fathershouse.org. There's plenty of ways to contact us. If you need something, let us know. Contact one of the guys, me. We want to be here and be a resource for you as much as possible, or help you, help somebody if necessary. But we also want to be prayerful that we're actually coming to the place of stepping out with God in the fullness of his word to us. Because see, there he's given us much word. There's a crown to be released in this hour. There's a crown to be released maybe even in just a very short coming days. But we want to be prepared physically, emotionally, spiritually. And we want to be the ones who are rising up to be the answer everywhere that we are, everywhere that we go. So know that he has a place for you. And know that we're here for you because we want to love on you and we want you to know how much we value you. And we're looking forward to when we're all being able to be back together, but we're also looking forward to God quickening everybody's life and then we're all growing together even as we're physically in different places. And all right, so God bless you. We love you. Yes. Sunday service, we will not have an 8 o'clock service on Sunday morning, but we will have a 10 o'clock service. So 10 o'clock, it will be starting up just like normal. So be ready for live stream. Normal for live stream. Yeah. So, yes, Sunday service will be at 10 o'clock. And Pastor LaRue will be sharing with you on that at that moment. And just get ready, because I have an advanced text that I was not allowed to release. I did not share his word. But he has a great excitement already building up. So I just wanted to encourage you to just get yourself ready. Invite a neighbor or a friend to visit with us online. God bless you. Love you. Mr. Chris? Yes. If you play that song. This is a song by the Riveras. And in this song, basically, they step into a heavenly atmosphere and to begin to minister from heaven to earth. And I just encourage you during this time, practice coming into the atmosphere of heaven and ministering from heaven to earth with your prayer. Hallelujah.